Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Well, we're so glad you're here tonight. I want you to go with me. We're going to be, I'm going to preach to you a sermon and message tonight. A simple message called "A Fire Shut Up in My Bones." Fire shut up in my bones. The Pastor Herring, who was here, and man, what a great pastor appreciation. If you wasn't in the 11 o'clock service, the Holy Ghost come up in here and blew up. And Brother Cash pouted a little bit, just a little bit, because he wasn't able to do his program. But it was all good because we just went ahead and had church. Brother Herring, I talked to him today. I was sharing some news about a prophecy that his wife has given me in our church when she was up here. So I was sharing with them something, and she said, "Ronnie, you have no idea that my husband came home and your church just recharged him. He's talking about not retiring in January now." So y'all done charged him up. He's ready to go. I was like, "That's all right. Well, go on." And matter of fact, Papa Watson and you know, Papa Watson is probably be about 77. He was here, and during the church service, they looked over. They looked over to one another and said, "You know, this is how we used to have church when we were younger." So they told me that after service. I said, "Well, I'm still young, and we having church like that. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Amen." So at the conclusion of the service, we got some great news. We need to take a vote on something real quick. So we're going to do a little business meeting afterwards. If you'd like to stick around, even though if you're not a member, you can stick around. We don't care. There's nothing that we have to hide. So you can come out. This great stuff. Just, man, it's exciting. It's exciting. So let's go with me to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Amen. You can tell, what am I doing? For real? Oh, okay. They just told me that my notes was not in Dropbox, so I have no notes for you tonight. Anybody got them on YouVersion? All right, they're on YouVersion, so good. All right. So I only messed up like half the time. So, but I have been running to my defense. I have been running crazy the last 2 days. So anyway, Jeremiah chapter 20. You can bring that up. There you go, chapter 20. Let's go to verse number 9. Verse number 9. Here's what it says. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name." Well, it sounds like some church members, I know. "I'm not going to say anything else about him. I'm not going to mention him," the Lord. You notice the capital H-I-M. "I'm not going to mention him. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding back." Come on, somebody. "And I could not. I made up my mind I wasn't going to say anything, but man, I couldn't because he was just, oh, it was just shut up in my bones. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watched for my stumbling sayings. Perhaps he can be induced, then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him." Father, bless the reading of your word. Give us ears to hear and a mind to receive and a spirit to receive what you've placed in my heart today for this service, that we may be changed by your power and by your word and challenged by your power and by your word. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You know, we have to be in the business of changing the kingdom mindset. We've got to be in the business of changing our kingdom mindset, because having a kingdom mindset means being an agent of the kingdom. And not only an agent of the kingdom, but an agent of kingdom transformation. That we need to understand that you and I, if you're a child of God, that you have the ability to be an agent of change in your culture, in your area, in your sphere of influence, you have that ability to transform our culture. Now, the problem is that there are so many churches who are trying to be so culturally relevant that they're not spiritually relevant. That they're so culturally relevant that there is no power and there is no change that happens in people's lives. Rodney beat you to it. That's okay. You're a good man. There's no, give me my keys before you lose them. I know him. So to be a change, we've got to create change in our lives. And I'm not saying that we stay stuck in the 60s and the 70s, but I am saying that we can change our method without changing the presence of God and the power of God and the anointing of God. Because can I tell you that self-help books and programs might help you, but the only thing that will deliver you is the power of the living God and the anointing of the living God and the blood of Jesus is what's going to deliver us and set us free. And they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. And he that the Son hath set free is free indeed. All right. So we got to understand that when we are accepting, if you will, our kingdom assignments given to us by God, going forth into the world in which we individually live and make a kingdom impact. Let me ask you, are you making a kingdom impact? Now, this is Wednesday night. Most people who come to church on Wednesday night are saved already. Most people are trying to go a little deeper. Most people are trying to, you know, get a little pick-me-up. But most people know the Lord. So are you making a kingdom impact in the people around you? I'm not talking about, you might not be affecting Europe. You might not be affecting Africa or Australia. But are you affecting the people around you? Are you a kingdom agent? But here's the other side of that. Are you an agent of truth? Because if we're going to make an impact being kingdom-minded, we got to be agents of truth. And not, you know, how many ever heard these words? If you've been raised in Pentecost, you've heard this. I'm going to tell you this because I love you. And immediately I go, don't love me, don't love me, don't love me, don't love me, because I know you're about to tell me off. But there is some truth to that. That only the people who really love you will tell you the truth about you. Amen? You know, you don't ask a 4-year-old what they think unless you want to know. Don't ask an 84-year-old what they think unless you really want to know, because they'll tell you. Does this make my butt look big? Oh, it ain't what you're wearing that makes it look big. It's just big. They don't play, right? They don't play. They just tell it like it is. You know, I remember asking Mama Turner when she was 84, because she was at the church when I came, and we had made a lot of changes. I said, how are you doing with all the changes? And she just began to tell me. And she went through this litmus of everything she didn't like. She said, well, I tell you right now, I don't like the music. I don't like the music y'all do. I think it's too loud. I think it's too cold. Sometimes it's too hot. So I tell you another thing. I don't like everybody clapping and amening, because I can't hear what you're saying when they're doing that. I don't like that. I don't like the way some of these people come in here dressed. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I just thought, oh, God, I wished I had not have asked. But she was a good lady, because here's what she said. Because she said, but you know what? It ain't about what I like, Pastor. And I said, oh, shut up. Preach, girl. She said, all I know is lives are being changed, people are being saved, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, families are coming back together, and folks are getting delivered. It ain't about what I like. All I know, this is what I prayed for all my life. So you can be an agent of change and an agent of truth. But you got to center that truth with relationship and love. See, some folks says, well, Pastor, I don't have people skills. It's not about people skills. People skills is not a gift. That's why they call it a skill. A skill can be learned, right? So you got to learn people's skills. Let me help you. If nobody likes you, you need some people skills. If everybody can't stand you, you need some people skills. Right? All right, so knowledge. Oh, boy, I wish I had this on PowerPoint. But it's on YouVersion if you go there and if you can get on, because our Wi-Fi is kind of woo. I mean, there's so many people on our Wi-Fi, I couldn't even get on it to get my sermon on my iPad. I had to go on my private network on my phone just to get it. We woo. It's all them stinking kids. We got 100 kids back there on the Wi-Fi, I guarantee you. And then about half of y'all. But anyway, let me move on. Here it is. Knowledge without power behind it is nothing but knowledge. Knowledge without power behind it is nothing but knowledge. Well, how do you know? Because, again, and I use this all the time, I can tell you how to lose weight. Knowledge. But if I don't put no power behind the knowledge, I'm still going to be overweight. And I like that word, overweight. My doctor said I was obese. I said, you're ugly. And the difference is I can lose weight. You can't do nothing about ugly. Yeah, you can. But you understand what I'm saying? So you might know truth, but until you put power behind it, there's nothing that's going to change. You might know principle, but if you don't, how many times do you talk to people and they say this? Yeah, I know. The spirit of slap want to come on you and just slap somebody like, you know, then do it. But it's because knowing is not good enough. You got to put some power behind it. We can know something, but it won't. But if we want to use this information to impact the world around us, we've got to have something burning on the inside of us, a driving force that will use that information that we have to actually come forth to make a change. Just because you know it doesn't mean that it's going to change. You got to know it and then put it into practice in order for something to change in your life. A cultural change and impact in the world. Because here's the deal. Are you ready? Rats dwell in cold stoves. If you got a wood-burning stove, I promise you, if you don't ever use it, there's some rats going to get up in it. But if you keep a fire burning in that stove, the rats are going to stay as far away from it as possible. Who is calling me? 844. Hello? Hey, Hannah, hang on just a minute, Hannah. I'm in the middle of preaching a sermon at my church, so why don't you give me your number and I'll call you at home later on. Okay, but I'm busy. No, I'm busy, but I'll call you at home later. Okay. I love messing with people. You notice she wouldn't give me her home phone number. Anyway. All right. So where was I at? Rats dwell in coal stoves. See, that's why I can't leave this church. Everybody can't take me. That's why. To dwell, not only do they live there, but they also reproduce there. See, the problem that we have is we got so many areas of our life that is not on fire, that we have rats living there and they're reproducing there, and you're wondering why they're taking over your stockpile. Because there is no fire. Because if there was fire there, there would be no people or no rats trying to live in that area of your life. A move of God, a presence of God in your life is what you need. I don't know. I know people can go to church and not have a move of God, but I've got to have the touch of God and the move of God on my life, because I know know me, I need the fire of God. And let me just tell you, it is like fire shut up within my bones. I just can't help it. God's done too much for me. He's brought me too far. He's blessed me too many times, and I just can't stop praising his name. Can you say amen? You've got to be a fire starter. And the only way that you can start a fire in someone else's life is to have a fire burning in your own life. And let me tell you, there's a plenty, don't point at nobody, but there are plenty of wet blankets out there. Right? I mean, I understand that everybody's not going to be as exuberant as me, or as exuberant as Mary, are exuberant as some of the others that are exuberant, because we're exuberant. But what I don't understand is you used to be exuberant in the club, but now you want to be all in the house of God. What happened? All I can tell you is that Jesus did more for me than anybody in any bar has ever done for me. And so I can't help but to give God my best praise. If I was going to serve the devil 100%, then I've got to serve God 150%, because he saved my life. Good preaching, preacher. A burning passion within you that comes forth as a result of your personal relationship with Christ Jesus, that manifests itself in every area of your life, is what God wants out of your life. We've got to be fire starters, but we first must have that fire of the Holy Ghost burning inside of us. The Holy Spirit, whatever you want, the fire of the Holy Ghost burning inside of us for us to be able to other people's fire to get lit off of it. Because you have that ability. Let me tell you something. Wet blankets will not stay around you. They can't do it. Either they're going to put your fire out, or they're going to get very disturbed by what you're doing. Hey, I know, man, there's some people who can't take me at when I worship. I've been at churches, people just look at me. And I just don't even look at them. I don't do it as much now because I'm a little older, a little wiser. But I used to warn people when I'd go to church. You know, now I wouldn't warn them until I heard the band. If the band was kicking, I'd go, oh, y'all might better give me some room. Oh, yeah, I'm finna get my worship on. Y'all gonna have to give me some room. And they'll either tell me, you need to go up front or you need to go in the back. I'm gonna go somewhere because I'm finna get my praise on. I know what I'm about to do. Are you hearing me? But everybody's not like that, and I'm okay with that. But don't be a wet blanket to my worship and my praise, because if you knew where God had brought me from, and if you knew what God had brought me through, instead of judging me, you'd be worshiping with me, because you know what God has done in your life. Hey, look at somebody, tell him he's talking to you right now. Jeremiah, in this passage of scripture, we find the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, in a sort of a place of disarray. Jeremiah had faithfully proclaimed the word of God to Judah and has got nothing but sorrow in return. He was thrown into prison. He was thrown into a well. He was taken to Egypt against his will. He was rejected by his neighbors. He was rejected by his family. The false prophets and the false priests rejected him. Friends rejected him. His audience rejected him. The kings rejected him. No one seemed to be listening. To say that Jeremiah was fed up with the actions of his countrymen, the actions of his church, the actions of Judah, the actions of those who would be an understatement to say he was fed up. You ever get tired of being excited and nobody else is excited for you? You know, God bless you with a new job, a new car, a raise, or whatever, and you can't even tell somebody because they're going to judge you. Boy, that's so bad. You can't tell nobody you paid off your car because they're going to ask you for a loan. You can't tell nobody. You can't celebrate with nobody because they think, well, ain't that something? Yes, it is something. My God. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't apologize for wearing the coat of many colors. I have favor from God because I am His chosen son. But so are you. The difference is I just realize it. He was fed up, and in verse 9, he was ready to give his resignation. I'm done. I'm tired. But God had instilled a fire down in Jeremiah that was unquenchable. And like Jeremiah, we find ourselves at times ready to quit. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Times ready to quit. Times ready to give up. But that same fire that Jeremiah had shut up in his bones is the same fire that shut up in my bones tonight. Is the same fire that can be shut up in your bones tonight. I know the enemy, all he wants to do is douse your fire. But can I tell you, the fire that we have from the Holy Ghost cannot put out by the world. It cannot be put out by the situations. It cannot be put out by circumstances, because it is dynamo. It is something that goes on within, and it doesn't matter what happens. It transcends my mood. It transcends what I'm going through. It transcends politics. It transcends the economy, because I know that everything might change, but God said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I know that I put my trust in that. Christ. See, you have a destiny to preach Christ. Man, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, you are. You might not be a pulpiteer, but you're a preacher. And your life will preach more than your words. Your actions talk so much more than your words. What you do on a daily basis, you are preaching loud and clear. Make an impact for the kingdom of God. Whew. Point one. The enemy's mode of operation, the enemy's MO, you go, boy. How'd you get that? You go. You just did your thing, didn't you? Go ahead. Point number one is, what does the Lord, what does the enemy do? The enemy's method of operation is to dampen our fire with discouragement. Man, if you don't think discouragement is real, then you're not, I'm sorry, we're affected by what we see. That's why we got to stay plugged into the fire. That's why we got to stay plugged into the electric. That's why we got to stay plugged in, because I'm not serving God dependent on what I see or what I feel. I'm serving God dependent on what I know. That's why you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because what I see is I might be struggling, but what I know is I'm an overcomer. What I see is that I'm battling with addiction, but what I know is that he that the Son has set free is free indeed. What I know is I might be struggling, but what I know is that God shall deliver me out of every trial and every situation if I just keep my hand in his hand. Discouragement is huge. The enemy tries to use it big time. And there have been a lot of times that the enemy has tried to discourage me and to give up. But through every moment of discouraging thoughts, I know that what we are doing is a God thing, and that nothing can stop us. You know, there's a scripture that says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Let me answer that for you. Everybody. Everybody can be against you. But that's not what the scripture means. It just means that if God be for you, it doesn't matter who comes against you, you're still going to overcome, because God is for you. No man, no event, no circumstance can keep us from fulfilling God's plans. Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures. Write these down that may encourage you when you get discouraged. One of them is this, Psalms 27:14. It says, wait with hope. I like that. Wait with hope for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Yes, wait with hope on the Lord. Let me give you another one. Psalms 31:24. There are many. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Psalms 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. So if the devil can't dampen our fire with discouragement, he will smother our fire with sorrow. He will smother our fire with sorrow. What is it that will keep you from serving God? Hallelujah. You've dealt with sorrow. I've dealt with sorrow. We've all dealt with sorrow. If you haven't dealt with sorrow, just keep living. You will. How about the sorrow of somebody walking out on you when you needed them the most? Well, sing that one song that I don't know who all sings it. But sing that one song that says, I got one less worry without you. Come on, somebody. How about the sorrow of losing a loved one through death? Many of us have felt that. Many of us have grown up to late in age without losing someone we love. But if you live long enough, and I'm telling you, the older I get and I begin to bury guys my age and girls my age and younger, it gets very discouraging. But I will not let sorrow smother out the fire of God that is in my life, because the fire is stronger than that sorrow. If you're saved, you will have sorrow. That's a fact. Sorrow happens. It's a part of life. Get used to it. Oh, aren't you glad you came to church today? Yeah. Maybe you don't understand it, but God does. It could be through the sorrow you're dealing with that God is going to get some glory. I don't know. I'm not saying that God likes to see people suffer, but it is to the glory that people give him while they're in a state of sadness that brings glory to God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Check out this text, which is one that gives us encouragement when we're going through sorrow. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Here comes another one. Another attack of the enemy. M.O. is to choke out our fire with controversy. What do you mean? I mean, how many of you have ever got into a debate with other Christians? I don't get into debates. One, I'm not good at it. Because there's an old saying that says, if you have to revert to violence, you've lost the argument. So I just start out with violence. I'm kidding. Kind of. No, I don't argue. I don't argue with people. You know, I've had people come up and go, well, you know, I don't believe in that healing. I go, okay, it's just for the believer anyway. Now, I get this one a lot. I get this from people who go, well, you know, Pastor Reed's a good man, but he goes a little overboard with that prosperity preaching. I'm like, okay, because it's only for the believer. Stay broke, busted, disgusted, and blame it on God. But if you will get some discipline, the matter is not how much we make, the matter is how much we spend. Are y'all getting quiet now? I'm preaching now. He was doing good till he was preaching. Got on that. Hey, I'm sorry. You know, and I've said this before, and I've had people go, no, that's a necessity. A cell phone is not a necessity. I don't care what Obama says. You need it. It's good to have it, but it's not a necessity. You will live without one. Amen. All right? What's another one? Listen, McDonald's is not economical. I know y'all don't understand this, but a pack of bologna and some bread goes a long way. Are you hearing me, Josh? From my understanding, Josh loves bologna. So y'all want to give him a gift, y'all give him some bologna. He likes fried bologna, I believe. Anybody like fried bologna? I love fried bologna. Woo! Come on, somebody. All right, but anyway, I'm just messing with him. But choke out fire with controversy. Quit arguing with people. Just agree. Yeah, no, I don't argue with them. Well, I don't believe that. Okay. Okay, you don't believe it, fine. Don't. But as for me and my house, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that I'm saved by grace. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that God said that I can be the head and not the tail, the above and not beneath, that I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that I'm blessed, that by his stripes I am healed. I'm going to believe that. I don't know. I'm just going to believe that. Well, what if you're not healed? I'm still going to believe that by his stripes I'm healed. I'm not going to let controversy choke out the fire of God in my life. Well, what about when you go through trouble? I know everybody goes through trouble. I already told you that. Sorrow is a part of life. I'm going to go through trouble. But here's what I know. That trouble is not my lot in life. Trouble is not my address. Trouble is just something that I'm going through. But I'm not going to stay there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they are what comfort me. I will not stay and live there in the Jerry Springer episode. See, the problem is y'all giving too many people the keys to drive y'all crazy. I ain't gonna let nobody drive me crazy. I took the keys back. The devil would say, you have done it now. You can't preach that way around this crowd. There have been people who haven't liked it at all. And in the text, Jeremiah had preached and tried to win the country of Judah by his preaching. Was too controversial for most, so they would not listen. Listen, I'm going to preach the word of God. And there's 100 other churches out there. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you come back, and I want you here. But there's 100 other churches out there that I'm sure you can find one that'll preach what you like. But I'm not asking you to find one that preaches what you like. I'm telling you to get into one that God told you to get in so they'll preach what you need instead of just what you like. Here's what the text says, Isaiah 49:1. Listen to me, he said, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth he has made mention of my name. See, before all the controversy, you was. Number four, he tries to put our fire out with personal inconsistencies. Woo! Well, I feel like I've been on some sugar. Personal inconsistencies. Underneath, just kind of elbow him. You know he's talking to me right now. Come on. Sometimes I drive myself crazy with my personal inconsistencies. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, and let me get back to something everybody can understand. All right, let's get back to weight. Mine, not yours, mine. I eat right. Sometimes. And that's the problem. Personal inconsistencies. Y'all brought me sweets, and I ate them. And I enjoyed every fattening calorie. But I know that if I am going to get that six pack, pow, pow, pow. All right, I'd be all right with just one pack. It's going to take consistently keeping off of the Reese's cups and Snicker bars. What? 80%. How about 40? But that's the truth. It's consistency. You can't be like, oh, I don't understand why the Lord won't give me victory. And like you serve him like one day out of the week. Are you, you know, let me make sure they ain't here. Because you can learn all kind of stuff on people's Facebook. Some of y'all won't even be friends with me. You're like, no, he's going to preach on me. I was reading somebody else's Facebook the other day, and it said, blankety, blank, blankety, blank, blankety, blank, blank, blankety, blank, blank, blank. I mean, boy, he was throwing out them bombs, and it was just bow. I was like, wow, whoa, how you doing? And then he said, well, if everybody would just have the morals of a Christian like me. I said, you blankety, blank, right. No, I didn't. desire sometimes in my life to control things. I like to be in control. It's my A personality. I like to control things. Issues of control are something that I deal with and have done well in the past, and in other times not do so well. And everybody in here has your vice, your issue that you do well. But the personal inconsistencies is what the enemy tries to use to keep, to flush out, or to put out the fire in our life. Just when I think I've mastered it, I lose the battle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But here, listen to me. I've learned the difference between guilt and shame, condemnation and guilt. Hear me. Here's the difference. Condemnation is from the devil, but a heart of guilt before God is a good thing that leads to repentance. And that's what God wants, is repentance out of us, not guilt and condemnation. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, and when we feel that conviction is when we ask God to forgive us of that event or of that attitude or that behavior. We all think that sin is an event or something. No, sometimes guilt or sin is an attitude. Now look at somebody with that attitude. You know he's talking to you right now. But the personal inconsistency of my own life get me down sometimes, but I always try to remember Romans 8:1. So those who are believers in Christ Jesus can no longer be condemned. Number 5, tries to extinguish our fire with the evil deeds of this wicked world. For Pete's sake, the devil's ruthless. The devil is ruthless. It seems like he attacks at all angles, at all times, and they can really get you down. But remember this, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, and I'll be done. It is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. If I'm going to suffer, I might as well suffer for doing good. Because I know if God's on my side, I ain't got to worry. I'm going to come through. I'm going to come forth. Can you say amen? So don't allow the enemy to snuff out your fire. Let the fire be within you, the one that is shut up in your bones. Allow it to come forth as pure fire. Let the Holy Ghost engulf you and build a fire in you that nothing ever can be put out. Amen. Come on, let's just stand to our feet for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.